It's Thursday. He's here for his weekly visit. Mayor Chad Baczynski. Baczynski, easy for me to say. I should know it by now. A year ago today, you won the election. Happy anniversary. It's 1 year today.
Yeah, thanks. It's still hard for most people to say, so don't worry about it.
Well, I'm glad you're here for your visit, as always. Do you think it's a little too premature I played that for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? How are you feeling about the Grey Cup here?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I feel like we're in a good spot. We've had a great season, and our team's ready to go.
Well, hang in there. I'll get your prediction in a moment here. But hey, let's just clear up. I know this has been on social media, on my page, your page, the city page. 11th Avenue downtown is open again. Thank goodness. But not entirely complete. A lot of people were jumping to conclusions like, how did you leave it looking like that, Mayor? So explain yourself.
Yeah. It was always the plan. And so just a reminder that there's still one more year of construction left. So there's some temporary patching on the west half. That will be finished next year. So we've got half totally complete, and the last half will be completed next year.
Well, I got to ask then about Dewdney between Albert and Broad. When's that opening?
If you drive by, it's obviously super close. There's a little bit of work on the rail, just on the rail crossing to get completed up here. So we're still really optimistic to try and get it done before the end of the month here.
Okay. No council meeting this week. That's next week. Although administrative meeting was held, and there's recommendations to deal with encampments and assist those who are homeless. Mayor, how much federal money is coming in to assist this program, and how much of it might be on the taxpayers' back?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple pieces there. It's a really complex issue, obviously, and there's a lot of work gone into that report. So the main part of that report is really around the response. So it's using those services that we have today, but being very clear in the way we're going to approach encampments and how we're going to help those folks navigate to the services they need. Doing a lot of collaboration with community partners and stakeholders that are involved and working that space every
day. But there
day.
Is federal money for this?
There is some money in terms of a coordination position in that we had talked about before, where there was encampment response money. And then obviously work with the province as well for funding for warming spaces and that type of thing.
You must be a little concerned how this might cost the city though, too.
Yeah. And I guess one more piece on the funding is that we did have the CSIR organization. And so that was rolled into the city. So that funding is going to be a part of what we're looking to go forward with is that funding with CSIR is going to be used for these initiatives with the city. So right now, once it's approved, it's all referred to budget at this point. So kind of the nuances and the details around exactly what's approved will be done in December.
And then someone's got to run it all. So like,
that's right.
What's going on in your head there about who runs this?
Well, the way the reports, it's actually a collaborative approach. It's with to do with all of the services, whether it's outreach team, whether it's our emergency services or community organizations. It's actually a collaborative effort between a number of agencies that come together to help folks navigate to the services that they need.
It's big. It's a big one to grasp and pull together. I know that. I understand that. Hey, I haven't seen you since real CEO Rick Bennett stepped aside. Not even a half year, and he's gone already. I had heard rumblings. He's not the greatest communicator, and everyone was concerned about how that worked out. Is that fair assessment of him?
No. What I would say is it was from what I know, it's a personal decision, and at the end of the day, these things happen. What I can tell you is that we have an extremely strong board. I know Trent Frazier has stepped back in as interim CEO.
He's a good guy.
He did a great job in the interim before. The staff know him. I think we're in a good position moving forward.
Are you concerned? Here you are 1 year later since you became mayor. Are you concerned how this all looks? You have Bennett leaving. You just let go of the police chief. We still have matters to settle with Nikki Anderson, the city manager. Those are three big positions unfilled yet. So do you worry about how this looks on your watch?
I don't. Only because I look at each situation individually, at the circumstances, and whether it's a decision or a circumstance out of our control. My view is that we'll handle it as appropriate as we can, given the situation. So I'm not concerned because I know that every day going in, trying to make the best decision we can for the best interests of the city.
Staying quickly with police. How much longer till a new police chief is announced?
The board still needs to get together here. I think we're just trying to get the calendars lined up, and then we can have a conversation about
the
next
board,
steps.
The board. It all takes so long.
We have to get together.
You're looking spiffy on your 1 year anniversary. You're off to open up a new office in the Coromandel Center. Tell me about that.
Yeah, very exciting.
Personal office.
No. Though this is for Regina Police. So this was announced that this was coming months ago. And I'm excited that today we're opening a new office in the Cornwall. It's a great partnership between Regina Police and Cornwall to create more visibility for our police in and around one of our biggest assets downtown.
Mayor Chad Baczynski, it's a Grey Cup weekend. Are you going?
I am going.
All right. Representing Regina. And what do you hope to do when you're there besides have a good time? Obviously, you want to mix and mingle and spread the word to those Bomber fans. They should move to Saskatchewan or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Wear as much rider gear as I can. Walking around Winnipeg is number one. Actually, another thing I want to see is how Winnipeg hosts the Grey Cup and make sure that in 2027 we do just a little bit better.
Nice. So you're doing some reconnaissance there. I like the way you work that. It's not all fun for the mayor. Riders win. What do you think the score is? I fear this is going to be a very close game.
Yep, I'm with you there. I think I'm going to say 27-24 Riders.
Let me write that down. 27-24. Mayor Chad Baczynski. Always good to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I love seeing this in the NHL. Connor Bedard just rolling. He's on fire. He scored again last night.
Bertuzzi for Bedard. Across. Holding. Teravainen. Bedard scores!
He's fire. He's got four goals. Four straight goals. 10 points in his last three games. And a 9-game point streak. And Hawks inevitably would lose to the Devils in overtime last night, 4-3. But he is on fire. Wayne Gretzky making an argument on his behalf last night on the American broadcast to push Bedard to make Team Canada.
He's earning his way onto Team Canada. He worked all summer to get to that point where people were going to say, hey, it's really hard to keep him off the team. So good for him, good for that organization, good for the hockey fans in Chicago. And the other thing is faces don't lie. You can see on his face he's smiling and enjoying not only the hockey part of it, but what transpires off the ice and all the sort of work that he has to do to promote the game and the Hawks. So good for him. It's been fun to watch.
A great one. Thinks that Bedard should be pushed into Team Canada there, which is nice to see. Hey, we got full Grey Cup coverage for you. Jamie and Locker with the Green Zone on the road to Winnipeg. And we've got our rider reporter, Britton Gray, there too. We'll hear from him next half hour. We've got loads of extra coverage here. Extra pregame, postgame reactions, Sunday, Saturday. We've got a 3-hour Grey Cup preview from 2 till 5. And, of course, this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon as well. So we got your back when it comes to all things Riders. I love looking at a video here of the Rider logo being painted over the Bomber logo in the end zone there to dress up the stadium. That looks great. Love that moment. Not a single ticket to be found on Ticketmaster yet, but keep looking because sometimes the league has holdbacks that they release to the public in a day or two in advance of the actual game. Those are the tickets that, you know, they didn't really need for players or family members, stuff like that. So keep checking. Coach Mace told us he expects a few boos as there's a lot of Manitobans who bought their tickets in advance to watch that boy.
Yeah, I would expect that we're still the hated rival.
Yeah, he's probably right, but it will be interesting, won't it, when we get there to see how the crowd reacts to the Alouettes or the Riders. I would think that many will be cheering for the West. Jeremy O'Day, Rider GM, was on the Green Zone yesterday talking about how the players can party after this game.
You want the players to enjoy the week, but you know, ultimately for us, you can you know, you can party for a week or you can party for 6 months. You got to decide which one of those you want to do.
Well, it's Grey Cup weekend. Winnipeg tonight, the CFL awards are handed out, and a lot of riders are up for awards, including Coach of the Year, Coach Mace, going up against Jason Moss, who won Coach of the Year for the Alouettes last year. But apparently they're not going to announce the Coach of the Year tonight at the awards. They're wanting to, in the words of the CFL, I'll read this directly from what they just sent me here, to expand the impact of end-of-season honors. The Coach of the Year will be recognized during the 2026 CFL Combine in Edmonton in March. That's how long we got to wait to hear if Corey Mace is Coach of the Year. All the other awards will be announced tonight. Well, let's go to Winnipeg. We've got team coverage. Joining me now is CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. Good morning, Britton.
Good morning.
Is there any snow on the ground in Winnipeg, or are they just like Regina right now? It's pretty brown.
There's a little bit of snow, not too much. So it looks like it's going to be a great day for football, Greg.
Well, that's a keen observation right off the start as you just got out of the sack, Britton. Thank you for that. Hey, take me to the first practice for the Riders yesterday, and you were there. What was it like?
Business as usual for this team. We said that this team, it doesn't feel like this moment's too big for them, and it was business as usual. Keyshawn Johnson, a lot of eyes are going to be on him and if his availability. Now, he was out there for the early portion, did appear on the injury report as it did not participate. That's just technicality. So if it was a regular, he didn't participate throughout the full practice. So DNP. It'll be very interesting because he did get some limited practices in last week. Very interested in how he does day two and kind of how his status maybe changes or if indeed he isn't able to go this week.
So well, what did you see him do yesterday, Britton? Like, is he just kind of just mulling about or is he actually participating in a drill or two?
He was participating in the team drill before they did the stretch and everything. So kind of before they really started to get into everything, he missed a lot of the practice. So that's why it'll be very interesting what his status is today and how much he does today. I think day two here is going to be a real key towards his availability, if he'll be able to go or not.
Well, Britton, the club is looking to end a championship drought that has been over a decade. And you spoke to a few of the players about that. The return really to Winnipeg feels like a long time coming for some of the guys you've spoken to, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Micah Johnson, 7 years. Jameer Thurman, also 7 years. There's a few guys on this team who've been waiting to get back to the Grey Cup after getting there quite early in their careers. And, of course, guys for their first time. This week, I'm excited for guys like Jorgan Hughes, right? A guy who's been around the organization, who's been around for a while. First time reaching the Grey Cup. I can imagine how special this is going to be for him. And a lot of excitement for this team. Like I said, business as usual. These guys aren't making it too big, even though there's a little bit more bright lights out here this week on them.
Well, let's flip over to the Montreal scene there. I know Davis Alexander, the expected quarterback, right? He practiced yesterday. He's got that hamstring injury, but I heard that he didn't look hampered by it yesterday. What did you see or hear?
Yeah, I heard the same thing. It didn't appear like it was affecting him, though. Once again, day one, a lot of people didn't know that on day one, not a lot of movement required of the quarterbacks. Wasn't running around too much. Another guy, day two here, how does he progress? What does he look like today as we get closer and closer to the game? So lots of intrigue around this game, right, Greg? Some questions need to be answered.
Well, Britton Gray, I know as a Rider reporter, you're efficient, you're on top of it all. But we got to know, how did you enjoy your evening last night, Britton? What did you do?
Just got a chance to hang out with the media, kind of just talk to people. That's really one of the cool things about this event. You got media from all across the country coming together, converging, getting a chance to talk to each other. And of course, share some stories from the whole season of the journey that it's been to get here.
Well, that sounds pretty boring. I think you're just worried the Murray Wood is listening and you don't want to let him know what you're really doing. CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. Thank you, buddy. Well, we've got great cup coverage for you all this week. As you know, Jamie and Locker have taken the Green Zone on the road, and we'll be live again from Winnipeg later today. Our Rider reporter, Britton Gray, we just heard from, and you can listen every day, 2 till 6. Guys hosting a special Green Zone Grey Cup coverage, and Saturday, starting at 2, the Green Zone pregame show runs from 3 to 5 on Sunday afternoon as well. We've got the whole gang this weekend, and if they win, of course, we'll be on the air with your reaction as well, too. Let's go to the festival now, where it's going to kick into a little higher gear in Winnipeg as more fans start to arrive. And the Green Zone's Locker has been set loose there in the Peg. Joins me now for a glimpse at the atmosphere. Good morning, Locker.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing?
Well, I'm...
Before we get into this, we had a rough idea when we were driving into Winnipeg on Tuesday, and we got the answer. Mayor Chad is not here. But we were going to see if we could get Mayor Chad and Luke Wilson together for a beer.
You know what? I'm going to discuss 11th Avenue with the mayor when it gets here, which Luke was a little annoyed at. So we'll see. Maybe I can push him your way. But how does the city look right now? There's hardly any snow on the ground. It's been mild like it is here in Regina. Oh, is that right?
My goodness. It is unbelievable weather. And I think They must be just absolutely thrilled. I lived here for 6 years. It was a long time ago. I don't remember a November like this. This is crazy.
Yeah, if you're a Grey Cup fan.
Walking around in shorts and T-shirts. It's unbelievable. And yeah. It's supposed to be like this right through till the weekend, too. So if you are planning on coming to Grey Cup to see the game, Greg, you're going to get unbelievable weather, just fantastic weather. I think we looked it up, and it was staying at about a high of -2 and a low of -5.
Yeah, well, now they're saying +3 this morning here. They're saying +3 on Sunday.
Wow.
But hey, can you tell there's a Grey Cup in the city right now as you walk about? Have they gone all out?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday I was out doing my locker on the loose, and Winnipeg knows that there's a Grey Cup. And there was mixed reaction to whether or not they can cheer for Saskatchewan. I don't know if you saw it, but it's out on the Green Zone socials. I was trying to find out who Winnipeg is cheering for. It's kind of split between Montreal Alouettes and the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
And yes. You proved my theory. Locker, you proved my theory with your piece, too, because I said, hey, many people, Manitobans, would have bought their tickets for the Grey Cup hoping Winnipeg's there. So there's going to be a lot of people from Manitoba. You roamed the streets and discovered a few people reluctantly cheering for the green and white.
It hurts me to do that, but I'm going to have to.
All right, sounds good.
Stick with the West.
And I heard you talk to one girl who said, my parents have tickets. They're not giving them up to Rider fans. They're going to cheer against them. Is that right?
Yes. I believe her name was Dana, and she was like, they were very, very concerned that someone from Saskatchewan, good Lord, would come into our province and watch this game. So they were going to go and make sure that they cheered for Montreal. Very funny.
So what's the plan for today, and how does the party slowly start to build? What are the attractions for fans?
What we got here early, because there's lots of things for media, and the team got here on Monday. So we were here broadcasting live as of Tuesday. Today it ramps up. The parties are starting to happen. You got Riderville happening. That's a whole other story. We won't get into that, but a lot of people are trying to scramble to get tickets for that. I'm hoping that the Grey Cup Festival Committee sorts that out, because there's going to be a lot of people in town that are going to be looking for that party. We'll keep an eye on that on the Green Zone today as well. But we've been broadcasting live from our hotel room the last couple of days. Today, though, we get to set up at Fan Fest and broadcast downtown, which is where a lot of the festival activities are going to be. So you're starting to see a lot more jerseys on the streets and things like that, Greg. So people are starting to make their way into the city, and it's just going to get sort of more and more ramped up as we close in on Sunday.
All right. Well, we're going to turn you loose again this afternoon there, and look forward to what you bring us later in the day. And Locker, appreciate all the coverage. Thanks for everything.
Yes. Today I'm trying to find out how much Manitoba knows about their neighbors to the west.
That will be interesting. All right. Thanks, buddy.